you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy, and welcome to the first live broadcast of the year 2020. Hard to believe that the new year has already arrived. And one of the things that arrived today is a brand new copy of J. Richard's book, and I'm so excited about this one, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting. This book is about healing the whole of you. And on my endorsement, which is featured on the back of the book, I say, Richards is a polymath. He's a polymath you can trust. And Eat, Fast, Feast is trustworthy and true. If you are confused about when to eat and when to abstain from eating, don't delay. Read today. I did, and the results have been transformational. You see, the last couple of years of staring mortality in the face have given me a much deeper appreciation for the truth of Psalm 39:5. You indeed have made my days as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing before you. Truly, each man at his best exists only but a breath. It will come as no surprise that my battle with cancer has radically altered my perspective on health. And because I recognize with a greater clarity than ever the importance of health, I wanted to share this resource with you at the beginning of 2020, because I believe it can significantly change your life as well. And I know this because it has changed my life. And again, I'm talking about a bestseller that is, I think, going to make a transformational paradigm shift in the lives of so many people. I never thought that I would recommend a book that has to do with, well, how you feed yourself. But this book has to do with how you nurture the totality of your being. I'll never forget reading this book. J. Richard sent it to me as he was writing the book. And I actually put this into practice when I was going through chemotherapy. I was having a very difficult time going into remission, and I needed to be in remission in order to do the transplant. And I read his book along with watching some documentaries on fasting. And then one of our research assistants, a personal assistant to me, along with my own efforts, ended up causing us to make a decision that if, in fact, I put into practice some of the principles that Jay was talking about in this book, that I might go into remission. And now this is an anecdote, but I can tell you I went into remission after following what is prescribed in this book. In essence, just to sum it up, the chemotherapy was much more effective on the cancer cells and less damaging on my good cells. And so I've come out of this process actually with no diminishing whatsoever of my cognitive faculties or even my physical faculties. And I think part of this is applying what I read in this book. I'm going to be doing a podcast with Jay Richards in the very near future, and we'll be sharing that on Hank Unplugged, which you can find on the web at equip.org. But suffice it to say, I am a big believer in this book. And I think this book can be transformational in your life just as it was in mine. It is available for your support of the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or again, you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, we have so many people hanging on. I think it would be appropriate to go right to the callers. First up, in 2020, we'll talk to David in Tacoma, Washington. You won the lottery. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Definitely, it is an honor to be the first caller. Hank, I just had a quick question, and I know I heard you speak about this before and how we are to trust in the arm of the Lord. My question is, again, simply is, can believers purchase lottery tickets? Is there anything wrong in doing so?
Well, I don't want to speak specifically to the practice, but I do want to speak to the principle, and then you can apply it to the practice. I think the one thing that we don't want to do as Christians is to glorify chance. We don't want to encourage anyone to rely on luck as opposed to relying on the providence of God. And we don't want to disregard or disrespect in any way Christian stewardship principles. And then I think it's very, very important not to profit at someone else's expense, nor to feed a beast that appeals to human greed, or to become involved in practices that can be very addictive. And I can apply this now to the lottery in saying that oftentimes people get addicted to buying lottery tickets. They feel like, I just barely missed the number. Let me try again. And let me not only try again tomorrow, but next week, next month. And then it becomes an addictive practice, and you end up relying on luck rather than on God's providence in your life. So there are a lot of pitfalls that I think you need to be wary of.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Judy. She's in Grass Valley, California. Hi, Judy.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My daughter has lived up in North Oregon near Portland for a number of years, and met someone up there who is very involved in a church, and my daughter has since moved back here. And when I always asked her about what's the name of the church, she would never give me the name of this church. Just recently, she did give me some more details about it. However, she told me that this church does not believe that Jesus is coming back. They believe that Adam is coming back. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe he is a God, but he is not the Son of God. And I was, that's the little information that I have about it. Still don't know the name of the church. I was hoping it might ring bells with you. I don't know who else to turn to.
Yes. Well, in terms of the name of the specific group, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but I will look into it and we will get back to you on that. And there's, you know, always the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie in these kinds of propositions. It is true that Adam will come back, but the Adam that will come back is given to us in Scripture as the last Adam, or as the second Adam, the one who did what the first Adam could not do. And that second Adam, or last Adam, is described in Scripture as Jesus Christ. And this does not sound like a church at all, it sounds, of course, like a cult. A cult that is denying what Colossians 1 affirms, which is that Christ is before all things, and God was pleased to have all fullness dwell in him. Only deity has the prerogative of creation, pre-exists all things, and personifies the full essence and nature of God. So again, this is not a church. This is more properly referred to as a cult. I'll see if I can say a little more about this on the other side of the break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers.
Many Christians today view fasting as weird, unimportant, legalistic, or even unhealthy. If we won't make fasting a part of our lives, we will never enjoy the blessings, physical, mental, and spiritual, that fasting offers. Simply put, many Christians need a paradigm shift when it comes to making fasting a part of their lives. For Christians interested in reaping the physical, mental, and spiritual rewards of fasting, the new book by J.W. Richards, Eat, Fast, Feast, is a must-read. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat, Fast, Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I want to go right back to Judy and finish my conversation with her because, of course, in asking the question that Judy asked, she's asking what could well be described as the mother of all questions. And I mean that because when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, the answer to that question makes all the difference in the world. Jesus answered that question by claiming that he is the Son of God, that he is in fact God. And as a result, Jewish leaders tried to kill him because in calling God his own father, they said Jesus was making himself equal with God. And indeed, that is precisely the case. All of Scripture affirms that Jesus is very God. And this is the very thing that the Christian church has always affirmed throughout its history and its creeds and its councils. This is the teaching of the Bible carried on by the apostles, the apostolic fathers, the holy fathers, and in every true church throughout the entirety of history. So as I said, Judy, what we're talking about here is not so much a church as it is a cult. Now, the specific identity of that cult, I'm sure is readily identifiable. I just don't know it off the top of my head, but I can figure it out and give you the information in further detail if you'd like.
I would like that. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you'll hang on, we'll get your information and communicate that information to you. I may even be able to do it verbally on tomorrow's Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Well, I won't. I may not be. I don't have you on the radio or internet, so.
Well, you can get us at equip.org.
I'm sorry?
You can get the show at equip.org.
Okay.
EQUIP.org, our website.
Okay.
But hang on. We'll get the information from you and get the information directly to you as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Mark.
Yes, sir. There's about 100 billion galaxies in the universe, right?
Yeah, there are billions of galaxies, but we can actually say now that that number has been dwarfed through new discoveries. So now we're saying there are trillions of galaxies, each with billions of stars.
Okay, so now it seems to me that, like, obviously that's, beyond comprehension, but it seems to me in the Genesis 1 account of creation, that could very well just be talking about only our little galaxy, which in itself is ridiculously large. But the thing is, there's no indication that it's necessarily, that is the Genesis 1 account, there's no indication that it's necessarily talking about anything more than the creation of our own little galaxy. Would you not agree?
No, I wouldn't agree at all. In fact, I think the very words God creating the heavens and the earth is metaphorically linked to the creation of everything. So God spoke and everything leapt into existence. So God is the creator of all things. And I think furthermore, there's a sense in which we look at our own little lives, 70 or 80 years, they'd be insignificant if it were not for the fact that God has created the galaxies for us to explore throughout all eternity. If we lived only a short period of time, we'd think, wow, this would be extravagant, it would be useless, it would be meaningless. But no, we are going to be exploring the wonders of God's creation forever, and will never come to an end of exhausting that, nor will we come to an end of exhausting the exploration of the inexhaustible God.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
You got it. God bless you. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Steve in Columbus, Ohio. Steve is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Steve.
Hank, how you doing? Happy New Year to you. It's an honor to talk to you.
Happy New Year to you as well.
And honestly, I just got excited to hear in that last bit that you said about exploring the galaxies forever. That's amazing. Anyway, my question to you is, I've stumbled across a couple of teachings from Cecil Cochran and Robert Breaker on correctly dividing your Bible. And I just wanted to get your point, because it kind of started confusing me. Get your point on the take of the New Covenant starting at Jesus dying upon the cross, and Jesus' teachings in Matthew, Mark, and Luke were all still under the old law. Is that correct?
Well, look, I think that here's how you need to look at it. There's really only one covenant. There's a sense in which the Bible talks about two covenants, but the one covenant is the fulfillment of the other covenant. So the new covenant is qualitatively better than the old covenant, only in that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats, as Paul writes in Hebrews. So what you have in the Old Testament is types and shadows that point forward to a reality. That reality is found in Jesus Christ. So in essence, there's one covenant, and Christ is the fulfillment of that one covenant. It is prefigured in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New.
Okay, that explains it all. I just started confusing myself and going down a track I probably shouldn't have gone down.
Yeah, so through Christ, the covenant is perfected, and the promises of God to Abraham and to the Jews are fulfilled through the church. The church is designated the new Israel, the new covenant people of God. But, you know, Adam is part of that covenant, as is Abraham, as is Isaac, as is Jacob. They did not see the covenant in the same way that we see the covenant, at least in their own lifetimes, although Jesus, just as he preached the gospel to people during the time he was on earth, also communicated the gospel between the time of his death and his resurrection. So all people, in essence, have access to the fulfillment that comes in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, amen. Thank you for clearing that up for me. I really appreciate it, and appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you. And, you know, talking about appreciation, I appreciate all those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Today, in several calls, we've talked about Jesus Christ and the fact that the Bible tells us that Jesus is God. I think of what Paul wrote in the book I just referenced. In Hebrews, he said, about the Son, he, the Father, says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And so we see that not only is the entirety of Hebrews chapter 1 devoted to demonstrating the absolute deity of Jesus Christ, but you think of verses 10 through 12, where the inspired writer quotes a passage from Psalm 102. This is a passage that refers to Yahweh, and then it is directly applied to Jesus Christ. And in doing that, the Scripture specifically declares Jesus ontologically equal with Israel's God. And of course, many similar texts could be added to the list. For example, in Revelation, and it's the first chapter where the Lord God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. And in the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus applies those very words, the words Alpha and Omega, to himself. Not only so, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, Jesus is referred to as our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in these passages and a host of others, the Bible explicitly claims that Jesus is, in fact, God. And if that were not the case, he would not be our Savior. He could not indeed be our Savior. So this is the axiom upon which everything either rises or falls. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but the first broadcast of the year gives me one more opportunity to thank you for standing prayerfully and financially with this ministry. We still have some catching up to do from last year. If you can help us out, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And I would be remiss if I did not encourage you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, which you can do in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We have a special double issue of The Journey, which came out at year's end and would be available to you immediately. Check it out again on the web. Our address on the web, equip.org. Again, thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Be back here tomorrow.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.